The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun arose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil, and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that which is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a little while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord.
Seated. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When we hear the term the Word of God, what do we think of? Almost invariably, right? We think of the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. We understand that. But Karl Barth, one of the greatest theologians of modern times, says the Bible is not the Word of God, but it contains the Word of God. So what does that mean? What is the Word of God exactly? If it's not the words of the Bible, what is it? So I want to share a story that might point us in that direction. What is the Word of God? This is a story that Tony Campolo tells. Tony was going to a Pentecostal gathering, And before the event started, Tony wanted to gather with the leaders because they wanted to pray for him. He wanted to pray with them. And if you've ever been in a Pentecostal prayer group, you'll know that while one person is technically leading the prayer, everyone is praying. Everyone is praying aloud. One guy in particular was praying quite loudly, and he wasn't praying for Tony. Tony heard him saying, "Oh God, please reach out today and touch Bernie." Then the guy went on to help God figure out who Bernie was and what the problem was. He said, "Oh God, you know Bernie Stolfitz, who lives in the blue trailer in that first road in the park next to exit 40 off the highway. Bernie is struggling and he's about to leave his wife Elsie. And he's very confused. And Elsie loves him so much. And he just doesn't realize how much she loves him and wants to work things out with him. Oh Lord, just reach out to Bernie today and lead him home to that blue trailer." Tony, of course, has simply left off praying entirely and now is wondering, okay, why are you telling God where Bernie lives? Shouldn't God know that already? And other such questions popped into Tony's mind. But eventually the prayer time ended and Tony did his thing and everybody had a great time. And Tony left to drive home. And as he's getting near the highway, Tony sees a hitchhiker. And while this is often an ill-advised thing to do, Tony decided that the guy looked harmless enough and offered him a ride. The guy got in and was clearly troubled about something. And as they were making small talk, he said his name is Bernie Stolfitz, and he's heading to the next town. So Tony immediately pulled off and turned around. And the guy asked him, puzzled, "What are you doing?" Tony said, "I am taking you home. Your wife Elsie is sitting at home right now crying, wanting you to come home more than anything else in the world. And you just don't realize how much she loves you." And Tony drove to that exit 40 and got off the highway and turned onto the first road and drove to a blue trailer. And as they pulled up, a weeping Elsie came to the door and said, "Bernie, what's going on?" Bernie looked at her and said, "Honey, we need to talk." Then he turned to Tony and said, "How did you know all this?" To which Tony says, "God told me." Right? The Word of God. What is it? And where does it come from? And how do we hear it? The Word of God is living and active and all around us. It shows itself to us in the faces of our neighbors, in the air we breathe, and the sky we see when we look up to heaven. The Word of God is in our actions and attitudes and words and thoughts. The Word of God is in the stories we hear and the stories we tell. And most especially in the story of Jesus, the homeless teacher who went around showing the world what the reign of God looks like. That the reign of God is here and is evident in our relationships and the love we share. Jesus is the Word of God, just as the stories about him are the Word of God, just as the stories about us are the Word of God. The Word of God comes to us in so many forms, like it did for Tony. So in our gospel for today, what could this parable mean? What could it be pointing us toward? How might we hear this parable in a different way? How might the Word of God come to us in an unexpected way in our time? Well, how about this? The Word of God comes to us in the form of our conversations. Specifically, I want to share with you today conversations about race. Race is a socially constructed concept that was used to subjugate slaves in the U.S. White European Americans used race to prove that whites are superior mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And of course, all that is, to use the politest term I can, BS. But it has been and is still being used to limit access to resources and opportunities to people of color. Have you ever heard the term white privilege? Anybody? Yeah, some of us have. White privilege. It's used to describe the unwritten and unconscious advantages that white people have and have had throughout American history. As a white person, I can get pulled over for speeding and not have to worry about being shot in my car. That's not true for people of color. As a white person, I can put a house on the market and be fairly certain of it being valued fairly and honestly, unlike people of color, whose houses have been historically undervalued simply because of their race. As a white person, I can borrow money easier, I can get better health care, I can walk through a neighborhood without having the cops called on me. Not to mention the subtle things like those flesh-colored bandages that are all light beige, right? Like the items in the hair care aisle for white people just being called hair care. But for people of color, they're called ethnic hair care. All the things like that, historically, that have happened and still happen today. All of these things are true and evidence-based. You can look them up and find studies that show these things. If you're a white person, this is not a problem for you. Because privilege is never a problem for the privileged, only for the non-privileged. But when we talk about white privilege in America, we see several reactions from white people. Some will hear the term white privilege and say, there's no such thing. When slavery ended, the Constitution made that illegal. So there's no way it could still be happening. They refuse to even see the problem of their own privilege in society. Some will hear the term white privilege and say, oh yeah, I know that I have privilege and advantages that people of color don't. And I want to help bring about equity in our society. Let's do this. But when they feel the real resistance of society to any change, they give up because it's hard work to change such an embedded evil. Some will hear the term white privilege and say, I hear what you're saying and I agree, but I have no privilege. I was born into a poor home, couldn't afford to go to a good college, and have to work hard just to pay the bills. I don't have time to even rest, let alone help work for equity for others. And so they allow their own limited burdens to prevent them from doing what they know is right. And some people will hear the term white privilege and say, tell me more about that. I know that there's been a history of systemic oppression of people of color, but I need to learn more. I know I have had opportunities that came to me because I am white, and I don't think that's right. I want to work together to eliminate this immoral practice. Hear then the meaning of the parable of the sower. The one who refuses to see their own privilege is the seed on the path. the one who sees the issue but cannot do the hard work to eradicate it is the seed in the rocks. The one who sees the problem but claims to not have the resources is the seed among the thorns. And the one who sees the problem of white privilege and works to learn and do the hard work of confronting it is the seed in good soil. And so the Word of God is here. It is here. And it is here. And we know it. It's among us and around us, planting seed in our hearts. God has given us the Word, has given us Jesus in our hearts and in our lives, so that we might take that seed and scatter it abundantly in our world. Jesus talked about the reign of God to a world that only knew conquest and power and greed. He offered a new way of living God's love through generosity, compassion, acceptance, and advocacy. And the world killed him for it. But with greater compassion, God raised Jesus from the dead to show that there is no stopping the reign of God. There is no stopping the Word of God from germinating and growing in our hearts and our world. God has forgiven you through the cross of Christ, through the resurrection of Jesus, for the times you have refused to allow that seed to grow. And we've all done it. I've done it. You've done it. We have seen what is right and failed to do the work. God forgives us. And God always offers us another chance to live out the Word of God. It's never too late, because God always offers another chance. I invite you today to look around in the world in which you live and see the Word of God, and to be good soil for that seed to grow in you, to find the strength through the Spirit of God that dwells within you, to do the hard work of being the hands and feet of Christ in the world. It is a gift we've been given, and we are given new every day. And for that gift, we say thanks be to God. Amen.